My name is Brian Kinsey, and I'm the pastor of First Pentecostal Church in Pensacola. I'm delighted that you're listening to this message, and I hope it blesses your life. If you'd like to submit a prayer request, or if you're interested in a personal Bible study, you can call us at 850-477-1100, or send us an email at firstpent@firstpent.org. We hope you enjoy this message.
And praise the Lord, everybody. If you love your pastor, would you get loud and clap your hands? Amen. You are so blessed to have his wisdom and leadership and guidance and preaching and all that and more. And I know you're thankful for what the Lord has given you. And if you love Sister Kinsey, would you clap your hands and get loud? Amen. Amen. We honor you tonight. And we're glad to be here. Me and one of my kids are here, Jet, my second oldest. And so we're doing a guy's trip today. And my wife stayed home with Jude and with Jade. But we're so thankful to be here in the house of the Lord with you tonight. Excited about what God's going to do. Genesis chapter 21, Job chapter 21. Genesis chapter 21, 5 through 12. And Job 21, 1 through 3. Amen. Aren't you glad to be alive in the presence of the Lord on a Wednesday night? Praise God. Amen. Genesis 21, verse 5, and Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck, for I have borne him a son in his old age. The child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Everyone say mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. The thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman and all that Sarah hath said unto thee. Hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Job chapter 21, verses 1 through 3. Bible says, but Job answered and said, hear diligently my speech. Let this be your consolations. Suffer me that I may speak, and after that I have spoken, mock on. I want to preach to you from the subject tonight, when your mistake mocks your miracle. When your mistake mocks your miracle. Lord Jesus, have your way in this house tonight. Take authority over every spirit, human and demonic, I pray. Release your will. Release your purpose. Release your plan. Release your power. Have your way in every household, every situation, financially, physically, mentally, and emotionally. We give you all the praise and the glory for what you're about to do in this place tonight. In Jesus' name, would somebody clap your hands to the Lord one more time? Aren't you so thankful that Jesus knows who you are and knows where you are and knows what you need? Amen. You may be seated. In 17 years of evangelizing, I have learned that in the spirit world, demons only know one speed, and that is to go all out. When the devil gets permission to attack you, which, by the way, he has to get permission to attack you. The enemy cannot just do what they want to do to you. They have to get permission from God to attack you. Every single thing that the enemy has placed on you, the Lord let it happen. The devil did not just surprise God and blindside him and hit you upside the head. Every single thing the child of God goes through, the enemy has to get permission from God to do it. And when they get permission or authorization to attack a child of God, they are allowed to go so far. And they never stop short of what they're allowed to do. They never can go beyond what they're allowed to do, but they never stop short of what they're allowed to do. And after they have attacked, and after they've done what they were authorized to do, if the child of God survives the attack, then the enemy is now reduced to talking to the child of God and mocking him and her and trying to afflict them with their words. Because once a child of God stands while the enemy has beaten them down and they get back up on their feet, and God said, that's as far as you can go. If you can do that, then the war now just becomes mental, because the devil is admitting by mocking you and by threatening you and by talking to you that you've survived what he was actually allowed to do, and God made a way for you. Is there anyone thankful that you came out of the fire and you came out of the storm? The devil's talking. That must be a sign that God said no. If the devil's mocking you, it must be a sign that God has ended what he was allowed to do. Because if he was allowed to do more, he would not mock, he would not talk, he would fight you. Whatever he's been denied access of, he threatens. He threatens to do it. That's what Jezebel did. She threatened things that she could not do. And when the devil knows he's not allowed to do something to you, and God says, no, you can't touch her there. You can't touch him there. You can't fight in that turf. Then the enemy shows up and just threatens those things. When he threatens you, it's a sign that God has denied him what he said he's going to do to your family. Someone needs to thank God for every threat of the enemy. It's a sign that God's still defending you, and God's still talking for you, and God's still saying no. And Job, it's so powerful that the first two chapters of his story are satanic rampages. They're just ridiculous. Hell's authorized to do all these terrible things, kill his kids, kill his servants, make him sick, make his wife go crazy. Hell's allowed to do all these things. And once they are done with the attack, the first two chapters are full of attacks from Satan. But after chapter two, there are 40 more chapters, and Satan's name is not mentioned one time in the last 40 chapters. And the reason is, Job knew that once the devil is done attacking, if you'll praise God despite what the enemy did to you, you do not have to glorify the devil for everything that comes against you. Job said, though he slay me, yet shall I trust him. Naked came I in, naked shall I depart. The Lord giveth, he taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Somebody praise him right in the devil's face. Hell hates it when you praise God despite what you're going through. Amen. And by chapter 21, the enemy has been reduced to friends just talking trash and mocking him. You'll find a thread throughout your Bible that when hell can't stop something, they mock it. They couldn't stop the day of Pentecost. They couldn't stop the outpouring. So the people outside the upper room were mocking them, saying, these men are full of new wine. But they weren't full of new wine. Peter said, no. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Hell has always mocked what they cannot stop. Just ask Sanballat and Tobiah. When the walls were going up, he was so mad that Nehemiah was building the walls that he said, we're going to go attack, but he couldn't attack. He could only talk and mock them, the Bible said. Hell cannot stand it when you've made your stand and they're coming against you mentally and emotionally, but yet here you are on a Wednesday night, and even though you've been attacked right here all day, you've got your hands up still. You've got your mouth open still, and you're praising God anyhow. That's what the enemy cannot stand. Somebody ought to praise him if you've got breath in your body, because David said, let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. They mocked Jesus when they couldn't stop him from saving you from your sin and saving me from going to hell. They mocked him on the cross. Even the religious people, the chief scribes and Pharisees, mocked him also. You will find a thread there. Hell's always mocking when they cannot stop it. And what the enemy cannot stand is when you start to celebrate what God is doing now and what God's gonna do in your future. They cannot stand that when you know everything that you've done, but yet here you are saying he's still worthy because he made a way. He brought me out of a miry clay. Is there anyone that knows that they do not deserve to be here tonight, but the mercy of God went down into some, I don't care about all the fake people that are acting all holy. Where are the real people at that know God's mercy brought me out? God's mercy delivered me. God's grace found me. I didn't find Jesus. Jesus found me. Let's go back to our text. Can you put that back on the screen? Genesis 21, verse 5. Let's go through this for a moment here. Genesis chapter 21 and verse number 5. Here's this great story of how Abraham and Sarah, they're getting up there, I'd say, yeah, 100's pretty old. 100 years old, and Sarah's 90. And they had this promise years ago that they'd have a baby, and nothing happened. So Sarah, like all humans do, when God gives you a promise and God does not do it in our timing, we take the steering wheel out of God's hands and we like to help God hook us up with our miracle. I've got news for you. God does not need you to help him hook you up with your miracle. That was three amens and a burp, and I'm still right. God does not need anyone in this building to help him fulfill his will. That's the problem with some of us. We've got so much control and so many control issues that we want to do it our way, in our timing. It's a promise, and therefore I need to make it happen. You cannot make something happen that God released from heaven. It's got to come from God to your life. Now, you can stand on the word and hold the promise, but I do not think you can make it happen every time. And Sarah said, I'm going to make it happen. God must have forgot the promise. We're supposed to have a baby, and I can't have a baby. I'm too old. So she has Hagar, her handmaid, go into Abraham, and Hagar and Abraham have a baby, and they name him Ishmael. And every day, Sarah lives with the mistake. She blew it. Every day, that's not supposed to be the one. I was supposed to have the baby. I was given a promise from God. Nothing worse than someone else walking in your own promise. And Sarah said, I was supposed to have that. And now the mistake is growing up in the house every day. Abraham, Sarah, Hagar, and Ishmael, not the family picture, not the family tree you wanted. And now Sarah, every single day, is looking at a mistake getting larger and larger and larger, growing and growing and growing. But yet God is so merciful that even years after, when she thought, God's forsaken me, I threw it away, I blew it, God still had enough mercy to reach back down and release the promise that he originally set into motion. I am thankful for a God that's not held back by our failures and by our mistakes and by our weaknesses. Someone needs to hear me right now. You've got a God that can see past what you've done wrong and what happened years ago and how bad it was. Yes, you do. And the Bible said in verse number 5, Abraham's 100 years old. And the verse number 6, Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh. Here's the baby. I cannot believe it, so that all will hear will laugh with me. I can't believe this is actually happening. She's 90. Think about that. Someone at the nursing home's pregnant. She's 90 years old. And she has this baby. Verse 7, she said, who would have thought, who would have said that Sarah would have given children suck for Abraham? And who would have thought I would have given him a son in his old age? And verse 8, here we go. The child grew and was weaned. That right there in the Hebrew means he's 2 years old. It's his second birthday. And the second birthday, Abraham makes a great feast the same day he was weaned. In other words, Abraham threw the party the day Isaac was weaned. If you want to walk in faith, you have to be able to start your own parties. That's cute. Thank you. If you always, I can tell this is going to go real good. If you need the preacher to cheerlead you every service to get you worshiping and get you out of your pew, then you won't last very long when the devil visits your house. Some things only happen when you learn to encourage yourself in the Lord. And Abraham said, nobody might show up, but I'm going to make a great party. Even though it's a little thing, I'm going to celebrate what God just did. Oh, we're real good at celebrating the big stuff. If somebody was healed tonight over here of cancer, blindness, paralysis, and someone over here was healed of a headache, we'd go crazy about that and patty cake that. Yes, we would. In fact, I'll go even further. We go crazy on miracles of healing and patty cake people getting the Holy Ghost. When the Holy Ghost is a greater miracle than a physical healing. The physical healing won't get you into heaven. The Holy Ghost is part of the plan of salvation. Sometimes we have to learn to celebrate the small stuff. Despise not the day of small beginnings. In other words, are you going to celebrate a 25-cent raise? Yes, I am. Why? I'd rather praise God for something he did not do than not praise God for something he did do. And if God authorized the 25 cents, I better not show up in this house and say, move me, preacher. I ought to be praising God, because if God did that, God can do that. The same God that can bless in small ways can kick the doors open and give you something you can't even fathom. We were just, and I'm off my notes here. I don't have notes. But we were in just a revival a few weeks ago. And in the first service of that revival, there was 350 people. And we had a few people get the Holy Ghost. And everyone kind of... not a good thing to do. But by the time the revival was over, by the last Sunday, there were 700 people in the building. 365 people had been filled with the Holy Ghost. But we had to tell them, you can't just wait for the massive thing. If you celebrate what God does here, He'll give you more. And that's why we ought to do everything with thanksgiving. If you want God to bless you tomorrow, we've got to thank Him tonight for what He did today. He did not have to let us out of what we were bound by, what we were messing with, but God did. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. In other words, if you're coming before me, He said, you better come thanking me if you expect something from me. And He throws a party for a two-year-old. This is where birthday parties began, I believe. Thanks, Abraham. And Abraham throws this great feast. He said, if no one else celebrates, I'm going to celebrate. This is the miracle. He's two. And the Bible said, go to the next verse. Sarah saw the son of Hagar. Remember, the mistake. The Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Get the picture. According to everything I've read, Isaac's 2, Ishmael 16. What 16-year-old makes fun of a 2-year-old? A punk. That word mocking right there in the Hebrew means laughing. The mistake has been satisfied to be silent in the house for 16 years. Just making Sarah think about it. Until they start celebrating the little miracle. You want to stir hell up? Start celebrating something. Some of you are afraid to clap right now because you're nervous about that. Ishmael didn't mind Isaac being born. He didn't mind Isaac getting milk. But when they started celebrating that baby, when they started taking the focus off the mistake and putting it on the miracle, the mistake found its voice. I don't know what he said. Maybe something like, I'm bigger than you. I've been around here longer. You don't deserve that attention. Can't believe they're throwing a party for you. You're such a little kid. That's how the mistakes talk. It's, you'd be shocked the people that get the Holy Ghost, get baptized, get delivered, come to this church. I mean, you've got everything. You got the greatest preacher. You're blessed. And they can't get over something that happened before they got the Holy Ghost. Been in church 5 years, but can't get over something that happened 30 years ago. You know why? Because the mistake has been around longer. And the mistake was allowed to live in the house, in the mind, at home. And the mistake starts mocking when miracles start happening. If your past starts talking to you at all, something must be going on with your present and your future that hell's worried about. Anytime the devil brings up the past out of nowhere, he sees something you're not seeing at the moment. He sees God doing, it might be a small thing, but if you can turn your eyes and turn your ears from what hell is saying to what is God doing right now, even if I have no idea, I'm going to thank God. Why would hell do that unless there's something going on? Somebody praise Him who's in a mental war right now. Somebody praise Him fighting emotions and fighting the adversary, fighting things in your mind. Just praise God anyway. That's an Ishmael spirit that only mocks when Isaac's being celebrated. And she saw him. She didn't just, it doesn't say she heard him. It says she saw him mocking. In other words, she saw his facial expressions. She saw the smirk. She saw him doing something. And she said, enough is enough. 16 years I've let it in my head. I let that in the house. I'm the cause of that pain. I'm the one that stirred up all the trouble at home. If I hadn't have taken things into my own hands, it wouldn't have been this way. I've lived with guilt internally. I've lived with guilt inside. And now the guilt thinks it has so much authority, it can speak out and mock what God is doing for me now. Listen to me, someone. When the enemy starts mocking your miracle, you can't sit back and be silent. You must stand up and say, no, God is doing something for me right now. And because of that, I must celebrate it and I must recognize it. I cannot be silent when God is trying to bless me. And Sarah saw him. Next verse, the Bible said, and when she saw that, she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. Watch this. This is so cool. She did not say cast out the son and the bondwoman. She said cast out the bondwoman and the son. She said, get rid of the mistakes, mama, first. You know why? Because Ishmael is a product. Hagar is the source. And if she kicks out Ishmael, but Hagar is allowed to stay in the house, guess what? There's always the possibility another mistake will be born. The product is what you're currently struggling with that's manifesting. The root is something that happened years ago, months ago, weeks ago. And people just deal with what is manifesting in their life. And they think, just get rid of this, stop doing this. If I just stop doing that, I'll be fine. And they never deal with the source of the sin, of the addiction, of the struggle, of the guilt, and they wonder why it always comes back. I'll tell you why. You can't just kick out what's manifesting. You've got to do some soul searching and go deep down and say, God, wherever the root is. Some of you don't like that right there because you're in love with your devil. You need to hear me. You need to go deep down and say, wherever that thing got access into my spirit, into my mind, into my house. Oh. Kick her out. And Abraham didn't want to, because he was emotionally attached to the mistake. And that's what happens when you get emotionally attached to failure or sin or a struggle or an attack from hell. Some people don't want to be delivered from depression or anxiety or fear. They clap like they want to, but they don't do what they're supposed to. You know why? Because they've learned to live with Ishmael. And they're more nervous kicking Ishmael out than they are holding on. In other words, they're more nervous to make the steps to be free and be on their own. Some people, they're afraid to be alone. The truth is, they're afraid for the devil to leave them at night. Well, if I do this, this could happen. You know, I'm okay. I get attacked and I get tormented, but I'm okay with that. I can handle that type of torment. I don't know about all this stuff about going on a 3-day fast and not doing that stuff anymore, praying all night. I'm not sure. I don't want to stir the devil up. I found some of y'all devil stirrers. I don't want to stir the devil up. Why are you praising him? That's praising hell right there. Because if God cannot protect you with a stirred up devil, then you've got the wrong God. Oh, you can get quiet. But fear is having faith in your enemy. That's cute. You're still not with me. Some people need to tell hell, I am sick and tired of what you do to my mind, what you do to my spouse, what you've done to my kid. I want victory, whatever the cost, whatever I need to do. I want the victory. You have to go. Well, he might manifest. Are you crazy? That's not biblical. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. If you get submitted, and you submit yourself to the word and your pastor, then you resist that thing. It won't manifest. It will leave. Oh. And he, I don't want to kick him out. Just kick him out. And God said, get rid of him. He said, listen to your wife. Listen to the church. That's Sarah. She's the bride. Listen to the voice of the church. Some spirits can't stay. It'll kill what God's developing. He said, get rid of it. Because there's something growing that's going to receive all the stuff if you give it all the attention. And the Bible says, I've always thought it was crazy, Bishop, that he gave Ishmael a bottle of water and a piece of bread and sent them out in the wilderness with a little bottle of water and a piece of bread in a desert. Seems kind of cruel. But you cannot feed your miracle and your mistake at the same time. Oh, you cannot feed on the blessings of God and church on Sunday and Wednesday and then feed on the voices of hell Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. I'm going to preach to some of you because you're feeding multiple things. You're feeding your spiritual man when you're in the house of God. But when you're alone, you feed the demonic voice. What do you mean by that? You listen to it. You don't resist it. You give in to it. And before long, you're depressed again. And you're oppressed again. And you're low again. And you're worried again. And you're scared again. And you just heard a word. And God tried to help you. But you're feeding two spirits. You have to starve out what you regret. Starve out the mistake and feed the miracle. Somebody shout, feed the miracle. It might be a small thing, but feed it. Because if you keep feeding Isaac, Isaac will start crawling. Then Isaac will get up, and Isaac will start walking, and Isaac will start talking, and Isaac will start leading and start influencing, and Isaac will receive everything. Well, I should be farther along. What are you feeding? What voices are you feeding? Oh, if you can't read one chapter in your Bible, but you can easily have 4 to 5 hours on your phone every day. Y'all aren't going to shout, so we're going to dig. If you can't feed on the blessings of God, can't come to call to war. I've been to two of them. I haven't seen half of y'all there. Y'all live here. Oops. Just wondering why the devil's fighting me. Because you're the weak link. He walks around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. If pastor calls a 3-day prayer meeting and you can't show up one time, guess what? Hell's coming to your house. I don't care if you don't like it or not. If you want blessings, stay under the covering. Feed the things that God is doing in this church. That's why faithfulness is so powerful, because the more you're in here, the more you feed on what God is doing. And let me say something else. Don't let the devil start getting you bitter and mad at when pastor's preaching right to you. You know why? You know what you're doing right there in the spirit? You're rejecting spiritual food. You're starving out the voice of God. I don't want to hear that. And guess what voice you'll feed? Bitterness. Anger, gossiping, murmuring, jealous. The voices will start talking to your mind first, and then you'll start releasing them to your spouse and to your kids, and before long, someone in church, someone at work, and you can't even fathom it. You don't even see you're doing it wrong, but that voice, you're feeding it. That's, oh, I'm going to say it. You don't have to have me back. It's okay. I'm coming back next Wednesday, but you have to come back after that. Y'all love me, hate me in between? Okay. That's why every time he preaches, I tried to tell you a few months ago, every time he preaches, you need to be on your feet saying, come on, whatever you're saying, bring it. I need that food. I need that strength. I need that anointing. I need joy. I need peace. I need the blessing. Why? Feed me, pastor. Feed me. What are you doing? You're letting the enemy know. Get out of my house. Get away from me. I've got to feed Isaac. I've got to feed Isaac. Sarah said, mock on, Ishmael, mock on. But while you mock, while you're mocking, start walking. In other words, I can't stop hell from talking to me. I can't stop hell from what they're going to say to me tonight, what they're going to say to my family. But I can tell them, you say anything you want to, but I'm headed to a place where the streets are made of gold and the walls are jasper and the gates are pearl and there's no cancer there and there's no diabetes there and there's no depression there and there's no devils there and there's a king that sits on that throne. And you might mock me now, but I'm headed somewhere where you cannot mock. You're not wasting your time worshiping God right now. You're feeding something. Feed the miracle. Feed the miracle. Feed what God's doing. That's where, by the way, I'm just about done. That's what the word prodigal means. It means wasteful. It does not mean backslidden. It means wasteful in the Greek. There was two prodigals in that story. It's wasteful. The devil always mocks when he can't stop it. That's what happened with Judas when the devil got inside of him. When the woman broke the alabaster box, the devil said through Judas, why was this waste made? He called her worship wasteful because he had already walked away. He was mocking what he couldn't stop. But you just keep worshiping God. Well, they're not prayed through yet, but you just keep worshiping God. You read a verse that says an unction gets in your spirit that God's going to do something to your family, and they might be high right now. They might be in a prison cell right now. You don't just read that verse and move on. You say, thank you, Jesus. I receive that. I celebrate. It's just a small verse, but I'm going to feed Isaac. In that revival in Dallas, Brother Foster got up one night at the end of it and said, hey, he said, I was 8 years old in West Monroe, and he said, we had a church, and my dad pastored, he said, and there was a lady, I'm done, there was a lady there, and he said, every service, as far as I can remember, she would stand up and say, can you all pray for my husband, that he'll come to church? And he said, every Wednesday, every Sunday morning, Sunday night, can you all pray for my husband? And he said, one night she raised her hand, can you guys pray for my husband? And he said, my dad said, no, we will not pray for your husband. He said, my eyes got real big. He said, as of this moment, you will not ask that again. But every service you will thank God that your husband's filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name, on his way to heaven. And he said, furthermore, every service from now on, before you come to church, I want you to lay out clothes for him to come to church and lay out shoes for him. Watch this. He said, in the corner, we had a little corner called Shouter's Corner. He said, the next service, she put his clothes out. And she came to church, and she went over to Shouter's Corner, and she just started dancing that her husband was going to get the Holy Ghost. 2 years, every service, she'd lay his clothes out, he'd start cussing at her. He'd laugh at her. You think I'm going to wear that? You think I'm ever going to your church? You think I'm ever going to come there? You're wasting your time. And he said, but every service, she'd lay him out, go to Shouter's Corner, and she'd shout that God saved her husband. And they said on a Sunday night, 2 years later, she was in the corner shouting. And while she was shouting, he was at home putting those clothes on. And he put those shoes on. And he walked in the back door. And he walked up in front of the pulpit. And she didn't even know he was there. She was just over there shouting. And while she was shouting, God filled him with the Holy Ghost in front of the entire church. And he lived for God the rest of his life. You need to hear me, someone. It's not over. I don't care what hell is saying to you. They might be mocking you, but keep shouting, keep celebrating, keep praising God, because the answer is still on the way. I'm going to say something. Some of you are very close to worshiping, but the miracle that you need is so far down the road that if you tried, you'd give God a little bit. Oh, Lord. Amen. Preacher asked me to. That's not feeding it. Feeding is that no matter what the devil has said, I will not die until this happens. I will bang the door down to heaven until something breaks. They might fight me in my body. They might fight me in my mind. They might fight me at my home. But make sure you know one thing. If the miracle and the mistake are in a war right now, I'm going to war with the miracle. I'm going to celebrate what God is doing. I'm going to celebrate what I cannot see. I'm going to worship for what I cannot do. I'm going to thank God for faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Can you have faith right now enough to worship God for something that you cannot see? I'm going to say it boldly. And I love you. But if I have to beg you to come to an altar after that, if I have to beg you to worship God, and if I stop preaching, you stop clapping, you stop praising, that tells me the other voice is still talking. Whatever you've got to, we've got to feed on what God's doing. It might be a little unction. It might be a breakthrough in prayer. It might be a phone call from that loved one saying, I feel something different. It might be a difference in someone's attitude. It might be a little, the headache's going away. It might be the tumor just got smaller. I don't know. But whatever the miracle is, it's time to feed Isaac. It's time to feed Isaac. It's time to feed Isaac. There's something only God can do, but your faith and your worship are connected to what God is releasing. I dare you to get specific right now. I dare you right now to be up here for something specific, not something general. Not, well, let's see what the Lord does. No, no, no. I'm telling you, there's something specific that you need to praise God about. There's something specific. You drive hell crazy when you bring up the subject that they think they've had on lockdown, that they think is never getting away, that they think is never breaking through, and you keep bringing that name up. You keep bringing that issue up. You keep bringing that miracle up. You worship God,
God Almighty,
that nobody else can.
And we give
move
you
the
praise. You are worthy.
Move the mountain. And if you don't move the mountain, I'm going to climb the mountain. Something's going to happen.
God
Something's going to happen.
Almighty.
Ghost. Come on, Holy Ghost. Come on, submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Feed Isaac. That's the Holy Ghost. Help right there, Lord. In Jesus' name. Oh, yes, right here. There's some faith right here. Something specific, God. Only you can do this, Lord. I give you the praise. Let Isaac get bigger. Feed Isaac. Let the miracle grow. In the name of Jesus. Let there be a miracle. Feed the baby. Come on, somebody. Lift up that pain-filled praise. Lift up that worship that hurts. Lift up that honor to God that hurts you a little bit. Come on. He can still heal where it's broken. He can fix what you can't fix. He can deliver where you are so bound. He's able to do exceeding abundant above all that we ask or even think. Yes, Lord. Let there be a miracle.
Full of power, God Almighty, God of victory.
Jesus is still healing. There's still breath in your body. Your heart's still beating. Come on. Jesus is good. Come on. Yes. Come on, somebody. Break it. Feed that miracle.
Something's gonna happen. We give you praise. You
That's it. Break the spirit of condemnation, Jesus. There's no for no condemnation. They're walking after the Lord. Come on. Walk after the spirit, not the flesh. Come on. Walk in the spirit. There's no condemnation in the spirit. Walk in the spirit. Get in the spirit.
We hope you enjoyed this message. Please reach out to us if you have any questions. We can be found at firstpent.org. That's firstpent.org. If you're ever in Pensacola, Florida, we hope you visit us. Be blessed in Jesus' name.